B-Pod Studios.
It's kind of an emotional battle, up and down. You know, you can't. I believe you really can't make a decision. You know, in that, you know, mindset. I'm off. Recover. Let the body heal. You know, see where your thoughts are. See where your feelings are. Give it a couple weeks, 3, 4, 5 week period right now of just clearing your mind.
As Tom makes the same kind of decision, is there a scenario where you could come back and play here if he retires?
Yeah, I mean, there could be a scenario like that. I mean, I'll never throw anything off the board.
You can never throw anything off the board,
you can't,
guys.
You can't.
I mean, if I hear that turn of phrase one more time, it's such a cliche. You can't throw anything off the board.
I'm going to be more pissed when he retires than when Tom Brady retires.
I agree.
Why? What do you think? He's going to disappear? He's going to be in every dumb crap commercial. I wonder what the next one's going to be where he's like pretending to be homeless. His commercial for where Colin Valor and Prince, which is still the most fat. Where did you serve? I don't know. Can I steal your stuff? Says I'm a veteran. Could you please give me a couple bucks? And Gronkowski brothers just steal the guy's money out of his can. Like, what a dumb commercial.
But every commercial is just like, I can see the people who are filming it and producing it. They'd be like, all right, Gronk, that was a good take. But we need you to not just be dumb. Could you be brain dead, please?
Well, that's the
can
dad
we get someone
voter
from the outside? Do we have a frying pan? Can someone smash him over the head? Can you do this concussed?
That was the bad dad boner tweet. That was so funny. It's like, why do they keep making fun of this slow guy? Like, they just
they're just going to have him, like, falling into, like, a combine and stuff. Just like, we're going to have you lose a limb in this one because you're okay. So dumb. You're going to walk in front of a train.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's just one where he just keeps stepping on lawn equipment, and then it ultimately his finger gets chopped off by a lawnmower. Well, is this not working? Blah. So, like, okay, so you know Gronk's never going to be an actor. Because he just can't. I mean, he can't. There is some semblance of the English language that you have to master. I don't know if he can host, like, a show, because we've been through that.
He has. He was in the Game On show, remember?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, I do. And where's the Game On show now?
Well, I mean, it's on just a temporary hiatus.
Exactly. And he can't do you can't be an analyst, so you know that.
Well, no, he did fine, and the only reason he was not an analyst anymore is that he went back to football.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's
right,
go back to the Game On show. That was the one with Coolio at penalty kicks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the same show?
Well, that's the one where it was like Coolio and Mark
Macy,
McGrath.
No, Macy Gray. Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
That's right. Well, we do remember his acting role in that one movie.
Someone needs to do some explaining. What's going on?
That was his opus, No Witness. So what he is relegated to is he's got the Q rating and everything. So he will be relegated, you're right, Rich, to be acting like a moron in ads for the rest of eternity.
He needs to be Snoop Dogg. He needs to do everything Snoop Dogg is doing. Because Snoop Dogg doesn't have to be a commentator. He doesn't have to really do any kind of thing where he's like puts himself out there and has to think fast. He's like hosting the Puppy Bowl. He is doing just like a Corona commercial.
He hosted a game show. He did Joker's Wild for a while.
Yeah, but once again, how's Joker's Wild
doing? That's my point.
Which, by the way, I thought it was funny. I watched one episode. It was actually pretty funny. It was like Snoop Dogg, but it was a completely different version of Joker's Wild. I would say it was a little more urban, but it was fantastic. Now, I don't know about with I just think that if you follow his trajectory, you're going to be fine. Just be a guy that shows up. You show your face at like like he did with the New Year's Eve thing. Just show up and say something on New Year's Eve and get paid and just be a mascot.
Yeah. You got a minute and a half of dialogue. Act dumb. You know, and see what other government agencies you can defraud besides the insurance agency. I got an idea. Rob just really wants this insurance that's only for veterans. Well, and then meanwhile, there's like a guy who's like missing a leg. Like, and he's like trying to get through, and it's busy because Gronkowski's on the phone trying to scam him out of all the money.
It's like stolen valor.
Yes. It's really something else. The commercial does not make him look good.
No, no, it does not.
Or the NFL, because, I mean, if the NFL doesn't have any kind of insurance for its veterans, I mean, this is, I mean, if he's out peddling around trying to defraud the government, that is a slippery slope for him.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, with the Tom Brady stuff, if, you know, Arians, let's say, I don't know, who knows how well that organization is run. All I know is that if for some reason Tom Brady thinks it's not worth it to either, I don't know, throw his power around to get Arians out of there, if he's unhappy and he goes somewhere else, obviously you can expect Rob Gronkowski to follow him. I mean, he's going to want Rob to go with him anywhere. Rob had a good year. I mean, for the amount of games that he played, I think he had like 800 yards and...
Yes, he was effective.
He was very effective, and he's Tom Brady's trapdoor. He'll never be as valuable to anybody as he is to Tom Brady. But what I do find funny is that after everything Antonio Brown pulled, he still thinks that there's teams that are going to want to sign him.
He did an interview over the weekend with Complex saying he was done with football and that he's a rapper now and that his job now is living life. That was on Saturday.
Yeah.
And now he has come out and announced that he's going to be playing football again.
Yeah,
yes.
Of course. And who does he want throwing the ball to him? Let's take a listen.
Who's next in line for you? You play with the GOAT. You won a Super
Jackson.
Bowl with the GOAT. That's who you want to play for?
Action Jackson. Let's give Lamar Jackson his flowers.
Yeah, for sure.
Why?
They don't want him to win MVP.
You don't know why? What do you mean why?
I'm
saying you.
Yes,
you
I
watch
want
game.
You to say it so they can tell
you
the people.
You just said,
yes,
hey, listen,
I know why.
Shout out to Lamar Jackson. That's it. Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. Not only him throwing the ball, the dynamic of him playing.
Yeah.
And then he farted because that's in the contract.
Haven't watched too many Baltimore Ravens games, apparently.
Yeah, I want him throwing me the ball.
But first, I'm going to watch him carry it 15 times.
I just, you know
and
what?
And stand over on the side waiting.
I root for him to continue to play in the NFL because you just, you know how the story ends every time, every single time. And there's going to be some dumb sucker that's going to go, wow, this guy's like really fast. And then at the end, he is going to insult the owner. He's going to do something like, I mean, how do you top what he did running off the field? I mean, that's I'm not non-criminal. How do you like top that exit? I'm sure he'll find a way.
Take his pants off this time.
This could work one of two ways, is that fairly or unfairly, Jim Harbaugh's job status is starting to be questioned. Not that he was going to get fired this offseason, but you know how they have the degrees of warmth of the seat?
Yes.
And
yes.
Like, you know, his was like, you know, like warm. It wasn't scalding hot. So like people are, which I don't know if the belief is maybe his time has run its course. I mean, he's been there forever.
And 14 years.
Yeah. And so the, you know, and it's not, I mean, we know he's a good coach and everything. So, but maybe the belief is that if they don't make a little noise in the playoffs next year, maybe there will be talk of removing him. So there's two ways of thinking about that. Do you go, Antonio Brown can still play. So you go, I need the talent because I'm desperate and I really want to hold on to this job. Or do you go, I really want to hold on to this job. I can't have this guy come in.
Right.
See, I would always lean towards the latter because just that those disruptions. I mean, a locker room is what percentage of locker room would you say are maniacs, like people that don't deal with things like the general public. I'm going like 45%.
That's a high number, but I wouldn't doubt it.
And so, you know, it seems like every time you have these disruptions or someone who's not playing along, it's just a headache that never ends up working out for the coach. I mean, look, we're talking about Arians getting fired, and you know, it's not because of Antonio Brown, but Antonio Brown certainly didn't help matters with his behavior. And that didn't look good on Arians having any kind of control of the situation. Or the two of them are maniac. Now I'm, you know how we were having the conversation before about just like how would you cut a guy on the sidelines and it didn't make any sense?
Yeah.
Now that I've seen Arians throw Levante David under the bus and how I've seen Arians hit a guy in the head. Maybe Arians did, you know, go, get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. Get off the field. Maybe he did say get off the field. Maybe he said it to him.
I mean, you're right. The evidence has shown that it's a maniac on both sides.
Yes, exactly. Because my whole point was, I'm coaching an NFL game. You're a wide receiver. Get away from me. Like, just, I don't want to hear anything from you. Like, you're a wide receiver, right? I want to hear from my quarterback if I have to. And I want to hear maybe with the guy who, the defensive play caller, like my trusted, there's probably two players that I ever want to hear from on the sideline. You're a receiver. Get the hell away from me. This is below my pay grade to deal with you. But now what I've seen with Arians, I cannot believe he said that in that press conference. I mean, talk about not taking responsibility. He didn't take responsibility. He put it on his player. He put it on a player. He put that they lost that game because of a player. At any level, can you recall a coach doing that? It's always, we could have coached better. We could have played better. Like, it's, never do that. You never do. I wouldn't do that to sixth grader.
We did a lot of other things other than that one play to lose the game. All of that.
If I could design my perfect, I guess, recipe for chaos, I would love it if Jim Harbaugh got a job and he brought Aaron Rodgers with him and they signed Antonio Brown. The perfect recipe for an absolute awesome implosion.
If I'm a writer, I want to work in that market, man. Seriously. I'll fly in a couple games.
We'll talk about him every day. I'll tell you, they don't have to be in this market. I'll tell you this, though. It wouldn't be a beautiful mystery like so many other things because there would be no mystery.
No.
Because it would
everybody's
be chaos.
Everybody's talking all day. Like, everybody's just talking trashed on everyone. And Jim Harbaugh would lose his mind. Oh, it's going to be the best. That would be the best.
So you asked me who I want to win the AFC Championship game. Well, my opinion has gone thoroughly to the Bengals. Did you see Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend?
Oh, Fred, I said that about his brother, and his girlfriend's just as annoying. So what she did, Fred, if I don't mean to speak out of
Yeah,
line.
Yeah, it is. It's what I'm, you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
She is standing in one of the luxury boxes during one of the games, and she takes a bottle of champagne, shakes it up, and like looks at the crowd and is like, woo! And then she uncorks it and starts spraying the champagne from her luxury box all over the people underneath her who look like, why the F did you pour this crap all over me?
While making sure she's being filmed.
Yes.
I mean, talk about, and who's it? Mahomes went to what? Texas Tech? Where'd Mahomes go to school?
I think
Texas
it's Tech.
Tech?
Yes.
So she's some hick from Texas Tech that just happened to date Patrick Mahomes. And now all of a sudden she's like popping bottle. Like what? Like trash.
Let them drink champagne. Take my queen juice. Like, well, she's standing from her like royal palace. Take this.
How is this fun for any of us? Like, how do you think you spraying us with champagne is fun for us? And by the way, like trashy lady from nowhere, Texas. She's from White House, Texas, wherever the hell that is. Like, you're no better than we are. You're dating Patrick Mahomes, or you're engaged to Patrick Mahomes. Which, by the way, count your lucky stars that you met him when you did. Because I have a feeling if you met Patrick Mahomes now, he'd be moving right past you. So whatever spell you put on him, congratulations. But, I mean, that's like I told you the Patrick Kane story, that my friend was at a bar like 6 months after the Blackhawks had won the Cup. And Patrick Kane was in this VIP section and just randomly started spraying champagne. And security had to, like, escort him out because everyone wanted to kick his ass. Like, spraying champagne on me. Get out. What? And then I'm watching this, like, I'm supposed to, like, think it's cool. It'd be one thing if the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs was this, like, 90-year-old woman. And she, like, did it. Like, then that'd be kind of funny.
I just think, Fred, you know, Patrick Mahomes, if they didn't – because he's one of the most likable players himself. But everything surrounding him, that team, his family, the people he hangs out with, is so detestable. I mean, you think about the people who are playing on that team and some of the stuff they've done on just, top of that. And then you just look at Jackson Mahomes and all of his crap and his TikTok and wanting to be famous.
But it's like trash. Like, what a trash move. Like, what a trashy move. Like, the new money garbage, grabbing that champagne and spraying. If you don't, you can find it. She's spraying champagne all over the cold-ass people on a Sunday night in Kansas City. Thanks a lot, lady. You know, if you wanted to, like, throw some bottles of champagne down to us, some unopened ones, and we can drink them. But, all right, surprise, Dan Shaughnessy is going to join us. The much maligned Dan Shaughnessy. I don't have a problem with him. I think his ballot was funny. But the John and I are interested in this. It's the Hall of Fame voting.
Dude, he pissed off David Ortiz. David Ortiz called him out by name.
Yeah, well, David Ortiz is funny because he's like going on this like little media tour yelling about Shaughnessy. And it's like, all right, dude, he didn't vote for you for the Hall of Fame. What do you want? like it's not like he like, you know, kidnap someone. All right. You know, all right. Like, I mean, already he's not going to vote for you. I could see not liking him, but this idea that you're going to go public, like yelling about him is a little childish. But anyway, we will talk to Dan Shaughnessy about his ballot and all these guys. I got a million questions. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich, and very excited that Dan Shaughnessy agreed to come on with us this morning. He, of course, is the Hall of Fame columnist for the Boston Globe. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dan, it's good to talk to you.
You're excited. I'm excited. I used to have my own show in the station.
I know, but listen, you're a big name, and agreeing to come on with us this morning is very kind of you.
You got to go get the old clips of the Dan Shaughnessy show where Adam Jones ran the whole show. I was the worst. But,
Little did we know you were going to be a Hall of Famer after that.
Young God. Adam carried the show. It's really funny. We got our own logo, jingle, and all that stuff. It was good.
Oh, you did. So the Dan Shaughnessy show was on our station,
right? Yes, at the beginning.
It was on Saturdays. Yep. At, you know, one of those graveyards at 9 to whatever or something. You know, and I couldn't handle any of the apparatus, still can't, and wouldn't do commercials, nothing. So Adam Jones just kind of did the show. It was the Adam Jones show with me, but it was my show officially, so take that.
But why would anyone listen to your guys' opinions when Dan Roach basically says the exact same thing? I mean, I just have a feeling that the level of positivity was probably an equal between your show and Dan.
You know, Roachy's so great. I use this expression, the full Roachy, now anytime anyone does the thing. And like occasionally one of the commenters will be like, what's the full Roachy? I'm like, yeah, pay attention. You know, you got to get on board here.
It is funny. It is funny because Dan will tweet stuff. Like Dan tweeted like after the games on Sunday, and he's like, "And this is why we love sports." You're like, that needed to be said. Thank you, Dan. It's about time someone had the
Dan
guts.
Dan Roach. Yes.
Yeah, Dan Roach. Yeah, yeah. Dan, that, it's, it, no, yeah, it was Shaughnessy. Yeah, he said, "This is why we love sports." So yeah, it just like thank you, Roach. That needed to be said. I do appreciate that. I was all down in the dumps. All right, so. Yeah. John and I believe the Baseball Hall of Fame is now the only Hall of Fame that matters, because in part of the deal with it is keeping people out. Is like pro football, basketball Hall of Fame is ridiculous. I mean, yeah. Weber, like everyone's in. So who cares? Football Hall of Fame, it seems a lot of people get
about 60% of the people you couldn't recognize if you showed pictures.
Exactly.
Of people.
And then the Hockey Hall of Fame is at a mall. So the Baseball Hall of Fame is the one. So I, getting this out on the table, I'd rather writers vote for nobody then vote for 10 guys. So let's get that.
Yeah,
get that
I lean
out there.
That way too. 10. You're overthinking if you put more than 3 or 4
well,
guys.
Well, I look at Jason Stark's ballot. Yeah, he's got Billy Wagner
Jeff
and
Kent.
These,
and I'm sorry, Dan, but I don't agree with Jeff Kent.
But we'll get seriously. To that. But he's got like Todd Helton, and it's like these guys aren't superstars. So anyway, so Dan had some controversy because you made your ballot public, which you didn't have to do, and the only guy you voted for was Jeff Kent. Now.
Right.
You're a Boston reporter, so this you did not vote for David Ortiz, and this caused a bit of a stir nationally, to the point where David Ortiz, I think we all think it's funny, is going around calling you names, and it's like, all right, dude, like I didn't vote for you, I don't know what you want from me, but let's start with why not Ortiz? What's the argument against Ortiz?
Well, let's start with the notion that we understand that all writers are jackasses by definition. We get this. That the last group passing judgment on character, if you could choose any group to not pass judgment on character, it would be Baseball Writers Association of America. So I happen to be in that group. That is the charge. You're supposed to account for that. And through the years, I've taken it seriously. I've written columns about this. Should I stay on the steroid wall? Should I come down from the wall? You know, and of course, the older people say, oh, stay on that wall, fight the fight. And, you know, younger people are like, who cares? It's steroid era. You know, I get it. I get both versions of it. But I have stayed on the wall going back to Mark McGuire or Mike McGuire, as Ted Kennedy would say, you know, Sammy Susser, all those guys, you know, Rafael Palmeiro, Gary Sheffield, Manny, if you blew a test or had these inferences and it was pretty obvious, I didn't even vote for Bagwell, Pudge Rodriguez, or Mike Piazza. And there was never a test on those guys. I just, in my version, they were dirty. Now, some people don't care. They were all dirty. They were all doing it. Cheating pitchers against cheating catchers. I get it. But if it matters to you, you go that way. So I'm just being consistent here. And David Ortiz failed the test in 03. His I don't want to get too deep in this, but his career path is extremely curious. And I was there for the whole 15 years, whatever. So I'm not voting for him because he's a Boston guy. I don't understand what makes him different. The one test he failed, and the commissioner gave him a presidential pardon, said, don't be too sure about that thing because they love David Ortiz like everybody else. The other three guys who failed that test that we know were Alex Rodriguez, Sammy Sosa, and Manny Ramirez. They didn't get that pardon from the commissioner. And who has ever had that positive where it turned out, you know what, he was framed, that was wrong, you know, the whole bit. So in my view, David's part of this culture, and so he doesn't get this vote. It's not going to matter. I believe he's getting in today. I sure hope he gets in so we can put this behind us. But that's how I think it's going to shake out. I think he's getting in at 6 o'clock tonight.
What about... Ortiz, to our knowledge, never failed the test after that first one. And you saw Manny did, and Alex Rodriguez admitted to Peter Gammons that he was openly taking them after it was against the rules. Doesn't that separate them from Ortiz?
Boy, I mean, you had to be like no one ever, like Manny did. Again, that's Manny. Manny was careless. But Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds never failed a test. No one fails a test. You got to be like a complete dumbass to fail a test. I mean, they don't do it. And you know, Manny got caught with a female hormone, and then the other thing. Yeah. And, you know, Manny failed 3. But yeah, so the testing. I appreciate that they're testing. I think it's made it harder for those who go around it, but I think they can still do it. I mean, David Ortiz's bat speed the last year of his career when he was 40 was the same as Giancarlo Stanton. He was in the top 2% of exit velocity when he was 40 years old. They were going to release him, you know, 7 years earlier in 09. When they got him, he was 27 years old, released by the Twins. Find me a Hall of Famer who got released at the age of 27 by the team that brought him in. You can't. Mm-hmm. And again, and then the year that David becomes Rambo here was the year he tested positive. So I'm sorry. You know, I love Santa Claus. I just don't vote for him.
It's funny. Dan, I love Dan. Here's my friend just texted me this. Inferences, what an effing douche. F you, Shaughnessy. my friend just texted me that.
Story of Dan's career right now.
But listen, I will tell you this, and again, I am in the camp of, I'd much rather you hand in a blank ballot than vote for 10 people. Like, this Jason Stark just because it's in front of me ballot is crazy. He voted for Jimmy Rollins basically because he likes the Phillies. I mean, it's insane.
And
so,
I like
anyway,
Jason. Jason's great, but I've never seen a Hall of Fame. My understanding of that ballot is who are the Hall of Famers on this ballot? Who can you know, vote for sincerely? And to look at it and say, there's 10 guys, there's 15 Hall of Famers on here. I wish I could vote for 15. That's never occurred to me because there just aren't. Bob Ryan's got it right. Bob Ryan says, for every one that goes in, someone should have to come out. That would keep it on the level. So it's like seeing 10 Hall of Famers on a ballot, you know. Now, I know that without the PEDs, there's a lot on here. You know, in Sheffield, Sosa, Manny, A-Rod, Bonds, Clemens, David. There's 7 right there. So, yeah, this would be a rare one because they've all been kept on because of they don't get in because of the steroid thing.
Yeah, and Dan, a lot has been made of, like, a lot of these baseball writers, like, I have to stay consistent. And the thing is that you've stayed consistent. I mean, this, like you said, you know, you've stayed consistent during this whole steroid thing. Now, I'm on the other side. I would have voted for those guys, but I mean, in terms of consistency, which a lot of these writers, like, you know, patting themselves on the back, you know, you have stayed consistent. I mean, you can't say you haven't.
Clemens and Bonds have never gotten in. This is their 10th year. So these guys have been turned down for 9 years. Where are the phone calls to defend Roger Clemens, who's never tested positive? So why is David okay and Roger's not?
Yeah.
And I know Roger's in the Mitchell Report, and, you know, but it's because people hate Roger because he won a championship with the Yankees, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. But I don't see how you can vote for David and not these other guys, and it hasn't happened.
Has David Ortiz reached out to you? Like, what was the last time that there was any kind of contact between the two of you guys, either speaking in person or, you know, otherwise?
So in 2013, when he was tearing it up early in the year, I was like, this just doesn't look right. I'm going to go ask him about this, you know. So I went, and everything we just talked about, I put to him face to face with a tape recorder going, and I wrote the column the next day, and David defended his life and explained everything as best he could, and I laid it out there. And I don't know what he thought I was going to do with all those quotes, but I put his words in the paper, and after that I was dead to him, and so that's it. And of course, that was the year his popularity hit a zenith, because that's this is our Bleep and City year, and that he hit .688 in the World Series. I mean, you know, .688 is pretty good, I think. So you know, I mean, he was absolutely the height of his power. That statues and bridges and streets being named after him and all that stuff. So, you know, popular player, great to the fans, great to the charities, great to the writers. Again, who doesn't like David Ortiz, including the commissioner of baseball, evidently. So he's somehow different. And again, this is all going to go away tonight. He's getting in.
Is there any player that hates you more than David Ortiz?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You haven't been around long enough.
You know, we don't need to go there.
Ortiz is like 10th on the list.
But I'll tell you,
you could start with the king of Nashville, Curt Schilling, if you want to go.
Let's mention that because he's on the list.
No, yeah. He hates me, too. He hates me, too.
Yeah, he hates our show. So can you kind of just, once again, I thought it was funny because I read your write-up of why you didn't put Curt Schilling in, but can you kind of expand on what you put in the Globe? Because, you know, this is his last shot. This is it. This is the last time.
I mean, Curt, it's really, for his family, this is tragic in my view, because he's been a kind of a borderline guy, not a slam dunk that he thinks he is, but, you know, definitely you can make a case for him. And that case was building through the years. You know, his first, like, this is his 10th and last year in the ballot tonight. Yeah. But the first 6 or 7 years, he was building his case, getting more each year. Like Rice, took Rice 15 years, and Rice got in the last ballot. So anyway, he's 11-2 in the postseason, great. Strike machine of the 20th century, great. Obviously broke the curse, the bloody sock, all that good stuff. But on paper, he's Mark Burley, he's Tim Hudson. Uh-huh. You know, 260 wins is very thin for a pitch of his era. He had a nothing first half of his career and a great second half. Just a lot of things. So, but you could make the case easily. And that case was being made and building. And then if someone had taken his computer away 3 years ago, he'd be in the Hall of Fame now.
It's true.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. But last year, when he got to 71%, guys, you need 75%. He got within 4 percentage points, which means 300 people voted for him. And he insulted all of them. on that very night.
Yeah.
Called everyone a stooge, doesn't want to be looked at anymore, wants to be off the ballot, wants to be turned over to the Veterans Committee, who hates him more than we do, and then, you know, and then go from there. So good luck to Kurt, but it's too bad because he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
All right, so you're sure, because he said I'm going to leave it to the actual baseball guys to rule it. You're sure now that if and when he doesn't get in tonight, no committee's going to vote him in after this?
You think calling Adam Jones a liar is going to help him with, I don't know, Frank Thomas and Pedro and those guys?
That's
a great point. John, there's no one more sympathetic than these writers. Like the Veterans Committee, they weigh in all that. There's no way the Veterans Committee is going to put him in. And you know what? I shame on everyone who voted for him. If the guy's a prick and doesn't want you to vote for him, don't vote for him.
Abide by his wishes.
Yeah, and by the way, if he's that big a dick, then I wouldn't vote for him. First of all, I don't think he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. But second of all, if he's that big a dick, then screw him. I wouldn't vote for him either.
I mean, you know, we are honoring these people. And so this is where, you know, especially when you're a borderline candidate and then you insult everyone, you advocate lynching, the insurrection, and, you know, throw out a lot of stuff that's considered anti-everything. You know, who wants to honor that? I do not want to honor that. But unfortunately, this year, I can honor his wishes, which is by not voting for him.
Not his right to get into the Hall of Fame.
No question.
It's not his right.
Well, why Jeff Kent?
Well, that's a good question. It looks stupid, right? You know, you don't vote for, you know, I kind of know that Barry Bonds is a better baseball player than Jeff Kent, you know, so I get it. And you know, I can read the numbers. I know the numbers. But when you take away the people who, in my view, were using, and so I'm staying on the wall one more year, whatever, stupid me, I get it. The only guy that, you know, I couldn't come around on Roland or Wagner. I don't like relief pitchers unless they're Rivera or Gossage. And so, to me, and Roland, I remember Roland hitting zero in the World Series against the Red Sox in 15. He was 0-for-15 in 2004 against the Red Sox. He was so easy to pitch to, missed a lot of games. He's not Ken Boyer, blah, blah, blah. And Kent, to me, he had more home runs than anyone in the history of the position, second base. He knocked in 100 runs like 8 or 9 times. He was MVP of the National League playing second base. And, he's not Joe Morgan or Roberto Alomar defensively, but I can vote for him. He's not going to get in, but I can vote for him.
But before we let you go, I want to ask you about Clemens and Bonds. You're a Hall of Famer. You've talked to a lot of the voters. How close is it going to be for those two guys tonight?
You know, it's really interesting because they have that tracker. So the tracker, like 45% of the people have revealed their vote. And on the tracker, you need 75%.
They're right there, both.
They're right there on 75, 76, and David's at 84. So what happens is tonight, those votes start getting counted like at 4 o'clock. The other 55% weigh in. And those are the cranky old bastards like me who are small hall guys, don't vote for 10, and hold the PEDs against people. There's more of us in this non-disclosed part that hasn't been counted versus the people who come out early, the young people, and blah, blah, blah. So everybody, it goes south the last day. And so for Bonds and Clemens to go south from 75, 76, it's going to take them under, in my view, unless this is some anomaly and people just said, you know what, last year, last time, let them in. And that, I suppose, could happen. I don't think so. But David's got a cushion of 9 points, so he would have to get like under 65% from the remaining 55% of ballots that have not been counted. And that's not going to happen. He'll come down, but he'll still be over 75, in my opinion.
Is there anything you'd like to say to David Ortiz after he's had the final word? He called you an a-hole. Is there anything you'd like to say back?
We don't need to get personal. I was around. I mean, I know what he did for Boston. I was there. And let's just, this is not personal. This is my voting the way I've always voted. And you're going to get in anyway. Be happy.
Yeah, that's true. The thing.
True.
All right. Well, Dan, really appreciate you coming on and, listen again.
Oh, and let's plug the new book because you do have a new book,
yes.
Big Celtics book as well.
Thank you. The book is Wish It Lasted Forever: Life with the Larry Bird Celtics. The book did so well, thank you, that they ran out of books. It's the first time in history. So the reprint is due in about 10 days. But if you go on Amazon now, it says this book is gone forever. So it's not a real. I'm like the Chinese restaurant that ran out of wings on New Year's Eve. You know, it's like we built up all this demand and inertia for this book, and then it just went away. But there's another 15,000 coming soon to Amazon stores near you.
Awesome.
That'll show the publisher for underestimating your power, Dan.
Gonna do. It's because if I still had the Dan Shaughnessy show on Saturdays, we could have promoted that thing even more.
Well, it would have sold out even quicker. All right, Dan Shaughnessy, thank you so much for the time. We always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, man.
All right, we have to break. we have to break, but I would much rather have a guy just vote for Jeff Kent than vote for 10 guys.
I lean that way too. Yeah.
And the 10 guys thing is just like kissing everyone's ass.
No,
that's
it's
what
small
it is.
Hall. I agree with Dan. The hall should be smaller rather than bigger. And don't let everyone in.
I would have gone Bonds, Clemens, Ortiz. That's it.
I would have added Schilling, but the four guys. I think Schilling is a Hall of Fame pitcher.
He doesn't want to be in.
No, I understand
that. He's also a giant prick.
I understand that. But on the field, he was a Hall of Famer in my
view. Well, I disagree. But
so those are my four. You have three. But the point is, smaller. I'm not overthinking to vote eight or nine guys.
And by the way, my three are pretty good players.
Yeah.
I mean, the best all time.
They are.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins lost to Anaheim last night 5-3. They finished 5-2 on a 7-game homestand. They visit the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow night. Celtics will host Sacramento tonight. Granny and Max have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And the Baseball Hall of Fame, as we were just talking about, will announce its class of 2022 this evening. Red Sox legend David Ortiz is seen as the favorite to get in. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds are 50-50 at best in their final year of eligibility. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by SwingJuice.com, a fun lifestyle apparel brand for golfers. Shop SwingJuice.com's new collection of performance polos and quarter zip pullovers, as well as golf trucker hats and hoodies. Check them all out at SwingJuice.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 8 o'clock.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Wow, wow, wow. Everyone's reaction to Dan Shaughnessy. I love it. I love it. People get so upset. Ortiz is making the Hall of Fame. Relax. And people are like, Fred, why do you get off your knees to Shaughnessy? And for one thing, I'm the same person who saw how many Q-tips and pencils I could fit in his hair. But second of all,
Banner Day for the show.
It's the greatest. It's the greatest. First of all, he didn't do anything wrong.
His justification is one that I don't agree with, but
Jeff
a lot of people
Kent
do.
Probably did steroids too.
Well, the Jeff Kent thing. Other than that, I'm talking about keeping Ortiz out. Like he's got. This
I would have voted Ortiz in,
of course.
But the thing is that it's one vote. None of these guys. Like, it's not like a birthright. They're not like a. It's not like they have to go into the Hall of Fame. And so the idea that he pisses everyone off like that is great. I think it's fantastic. And he doesn't make me mad. Shaughnessy doesn't make me mad. There's plenty of people that do. He doesn't. And what he does is he didn't have to release his ballot. He did. And he comes and he explains his ballot, just like with everything. He faces the music. He's been around for all this time, and watching everyone get agitated over nonsense is really funny to me. He stirs it up, and then he takes the heat. So, and people are like, stuff he was racist to David Ortiz's face.
I don't remember that. What was that?
I don't want to get into it. Yeah. But I mean, it's not like cut and dry that was racist what he said. And people know out there what he said. But I don't know if that's cut and dry. It's not my responsibility to know. But the thing is that every time that someone. Screams and yells at him is another. I just love it. I think it's great, and it's great for baseball. Let people, if people care this much about it, it's great for baseball. And by the way, Ortiz is going to be the only one who gets in tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I mean, what's hysterical is that I was wondering, do you think that you got Curt Schilling doing one of his little live videos this morning where he's working on Warhammer figures and pontificating about politics? And, you know, on a day like today, I'm sure there's a lot of people who would be on his, or a lot of people, quote unquote, asking him about what he thinks of the Hall of Fame. And I went to go click on his Twitter account, and we were blocked, of course. And John was able to get on, and it's just a mess. It's like one of those things where it's good in theory to check on him, and then you see that these are the ramblings of a crazy person.
No, it's time to leave. He was up at 2 this morning tweeting about Joe Biden. So, I mean, nothing has changed.
The thing is, too, is that you can get lost in it. Like last year around this time, because I really don't want him to make the Hall of Fame. Like, I think he's a deplorable person and doesn't deserve to get in anyway. But I got lost in his hobby thing because it's just like people donating 25 cents. Like, and it's this tracker of like people donating, or at least it was last year, people donating 25 cents while he has on these like super magnifying glasses.
It looks like the 40-year-old virgin in, yeah, virgin in miniatures.
Yeah. He's building like forts and stuff in this. And then I think, man, this guy had it all. This guy had it all.
You know what? There's only a handful of people that you can say that, where you take a look at him and you go, for the rest of this guy's life, he would have been loved.
He would have just not have done this. After 04, yeah. He owned this town.
Yep. There's certain people where you just say, that guy, if he hadn't made this one choice to go there, would have been a god. And there's very few people you can say that about. Curt Schilling is one of them. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys. And now, you know, that no one will touch him with a 10-foot pole. Like, no one wants to be associated with Curt Schilling now.
But it's funny, when he was a young player, the book on him was he was an idiot, too. So,
well, we had players coming in and talking to us, you know, some of them off the record, saying that his nickname was Red Light Schilling. In other words, whenever there was a camera around, he would be the one who wanted to talk to them. And I guess that he would speak out of school and say things that were going on in the locker room, that there was this unwritten code that you didn't talk about, and was essentially a tattletale. And this is, once again, not my words. These are guys that who used to play with Curt Schilling, who would tell us this stuff off the record.
The stuff I'm talking about predates that. It's like when he was in the minor leagues, and like the book on him when he was drafted. Like, the head case, he's a moron. I mean, he did a lot, he did a lot more, you have to remember, than his little ramblings with his gifts and Nazi memorabilia. He's a true moron who thinks he's brilliant. I mean, he's a man who liked video games and decided to build a video game empire based on his love of video games.
And bankrupt the state.
Yeah. In the meantime.
But it's not his fault. No, no.
No, he moved to Tennessee, though. Yeah. He moved to Franklin, Tennessee to get away from all the hate up here. And
because hate for him is limited just to New England.
Also, it is interesting that, I mean, when you're spending, you know, all day on a camera making models, I don't know where you lived would be much of a factor.
I'll tell you what is kind of funny, though, Fred, and I mean this in all sincerity. This morning, I see John Wallach for the first time in person in about 2 weeks, and John has this glow on his... It's just this smile. It's as if he fluttered in this morning, and I had no... I'm like, hey, wow, you look happy, and he goes, 6 o'clock today. Hall of Fame vote.
Yeah.
This is honestly his Christmas.
This is like, my day. Like, everyone has days. I love the Hall of Fame. I loved baseball when I was a kid. The Hall of Fame means a lot to me. I've been there a couple of times. Now, I didn't baptize my kid in a sink in the bathroom like Rochi did. But you know what? I love going. I'm going to take my kids there one day, even if they're bored with it. I don't care.
Time has never moved slower for John Wallach
than
it is today.
It's like, clock.
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock.
10 hours, 5 minutes.
You know what's going to happen. The Ortiz is going to get in and no one else is going to get in. All right. We will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.